I like Steve's story and illustration in the children's sermon about the dog and the dog hearing and knowing the familiar voices. But a stranger, the dog is more apt to growl. And I remember in a seminary class on homiletics, which is the discipline of delivering sermons, we were always cautioned that with every illustration, there's always a pitfall or two. Not every dog is quite built with that sentiment. We had an overweight black Labrador retriever that if a stranger came on the property, a couple of candy bars and the whole place was yours. One time in back in Albert Lee, there was a local salvage yard, and a member of a congregation went out one morning to get a part for his car, and he drove in, and there was a deputy's squad car sitting there. So he went into the office, and there's a uniformed deputy interviewing the owner and a couple of workers standing around, and so he asked what happened. He said that the place got broke into last night. Really? And he looked over in the corner, and here's the proverbial junkyard dog sitting in the corner, and my friend said, well, what about him? And the worker said, he held the flashlight. Oh, we love our pets, don't we? The shepherd and the sheep and the gatekeeper. And the context of our story this morning adds a little flavor to it, if you will. You go back into chapter 9, the whole chapter of John is devoted to a story of one of Jesus, just a great, great event where Jesus healed not simply a blind man, but a man who was born blind, blind his entire life. And of course, if you remember the story, it's rather lengthy. It gets into a discussion between the Pharisees, who are torqued off Jesus, as they often are, but you know, sometimes Jesus would heal on the Sabbath, or Jesus' words had powers that theirs didn't. They would find some reason to trip him up, and they were upset with him, of course, in the conclusion of chapter 9. I'm going to go back, just read a couple of verses, because the story really continues. We sometimes jump into these texts and maybe don't realize that there's a whole other set of dynamics that have already taken place, and that's sort of the case here this morning. Jesus says here in John chapter 39, remember he has just healed this man born blind. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And of course, Jesus, those who are claimed to see will become blind, he's obviously referring to the Pharisees, the leadership, the religious leadership of his day. Now some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And it's from here that Jesus, in this narrative, continues right into, I tell you the truth, and goes on to lay his claim as the gatekeeper. It's been a contentious day with Jesus in his conversation with these Pharisees. And so he lays down some pretty strong words and an indictment on them, those who are say they can see are blind. Jesus continues, anyone who climbs into a sheep pen, not through the gate, is a thief and a robber. Now, we drive by farm operations all the time. Sometimes there's livestock, and we see people coming and going, and it's not unusual to see someone climbing, instead of going through the gate, but climbing over the gate. I find at my age, I'm climbing, going through more than climbing over than I used to. But if you were to drive by, for example, a farm place, or even in town for that matter, and you were to see someone going into a house through a window, your suspicions would be up, wouldn't they? There's something rather odd about this, because we normally don't enter our homes through windows. In fact, you'd probably be, something about it would catch to where you'd look back a second time. And then, depending on the circumstances, you may well do something about it. What are you likely to do? Call 911. You got a cell phone with you and say, there's something a little suspicious going on. Here's the street address. and go from there. Before we continue on with this, I want to ask you though, how many of you have ever had actually gone into your house through a window? I mean, you've had those circumstances. The rest of you just are not willing to be honest this morning, are you? When we see that, we're struck by it because somebody is going in perhaps for less than honorable reasons. And it gives you the clue that they really maybe don't belong there. And so your suspicions are up and you call 911. Somebody's breaking in. What Jesus uses is rather apt illustration. The gatekeeper knows the shepherd, and when he sees him coming, he opens the gate. But Jesus says there are those who are inside the sheep pen that don't belong there. They have no business being there. And they've come in by some other way, because the gatekeeper would not have permitted them to come in. My wife's cousin has a hog operation, has for many, many years. And I remember one of the first times when we went out there, I grew up in a day when most of the farmers where I grew up had cattle, a few hogs, some chickens, they raised crops, they had a garden, they had a little bit of everything, maybe some sheep. And so without thinking, you just indiscriminately went from one barn to another. And I remember going to my wife's cousin's place, and this was a pretty good sized hog operation, and there was a restriction at the door. And I was just completely oblivious to the concerns we're bringing disease and so forth in. And I remember we had to put something on our feet, et cetera, just to protect. This protection was there. But now Jesus is talking, of course, in the realm of the life of sheep, and really sheep being people and their spiritual welfare and their worship life and their relationship with God himself. And Jesus tells us again, the shepherd, the good shepherd, enters by the gate. The gatekeeper recognizes and allows him in, but there are those who don't belong in. I've never worked around sheep, but I've worked around turkeys, and you've heard me tell turkey stories through the past. And we would have turkeys on open ranges, but when they're young, they're put in a barn, a long metal shed, open on both ends, and we would put a 4x4 open gate, with like a wide mesh, if you will, fence, in order to allow air through there. Our problem with turkeys, and maybe the same thing with sheep and with other livestock, was not so much keeping them in, but keeping predators out that didn't belong in there. Occasionally, a weasel or a fox or something would get in. And I remember one particular time I went to a barn, one of the several, the farmer had five different barns around the county. Went to one and there were hundreds of dead birds piled up on the sides of the barn, but there were no tracks in there. Apparently what had happened, an owl had come in through one of the openings, scared the daylights out of these turkeys, and they pile up and several of them smothered. But you could see quickly the devastation that happened with these turkeys when a foreigner, when a predator came in there that didn't belong in there. Now Jesus, of course, is visiting with who? Some rather contentious Pharisees who are pretty protective of their post, their position. And what Jesus is saying to them is threatening them, of course, because he's speaking in parable, but he is speaking directly and indirectly to them. And they have become, in their profession, you notice our prayer of the day said profession. Did that word kind of catch you in the prayer? That's an interesting word, and I think I know why it's there. It's warning that those who are in a position of leadership with sheep, with congregation members, with followers of Jesus Christ, have a serious and solemn duty to hear and speak the voice of the Good Shepherd, and not some other agenda, if you will. The problem is not keeping people in, but keeping predators and falsehoods out. among the flock. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I never would have believed, and probably you wouldn't either, that years ago we would come to a point where we would be using technology that uses this very same principle. I remember about 1967 or 68 in industrial arts class in high school, in junior high, we had a film that was on the emerging computer technology, 1967. Knowing us at our school, it was probably made in 1961 or 2, something like that, the film. And it was put out by one of the big computer companies at the time. Sperry, Univac. Does that name sound familiar? Anybody have Sperry or Univac on their cell phones today? No, it's a company that I don't think is even in existence. Probably melded into some other company. And they were showing at that time, in the early mid-60s, how computers were able to generate voices. And they had, for the first time we could hear in this film, a voice that was not a human voice, actually words being formed and spoken through a computer. And it was fascinating. And generations on ahead now, the technology will recognize not just any voice. Probably a lot of us have voice command stuff right now in your pocket, right? I can say, call Lois, and it'll call Lois. It may ask me which Lois, but it'll call Lois. But more than that, the technology won't answer necessarily any voice, but only your voice specifically. Well, long before this technology comes around, Jesus uses an illustration of sheep that know the shepherd's voice. And frankly, you're right, Steve. The dogs, the pets, they recognize the owner's voice better than any other. Better than any other. Have you ever noticed how a mom can hear their own child's cry in a room full of crying kids, screaming kids? And a voice will say, "Mom," and the right mom will turn and hear and know the voice of their child. You know what I have fun with? Get in a room of about 2 or 3 dozen clergy and just in a loud voice say, "Reverend?" See all the heads turn. I kind of like stirring the pot a little once in a while. They tell me. Jesus says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And how important this very concept is with us. Not in our voice recognition, iPhones and iPads and technologies, but how important it is in a culture where there are so very many voices calling for our attention, telling us what's important, what matters, what is right, and what is wrong. A pastor friend of mine said to me some years ago, these were his exact words, and it just stuck in my mind at the time. He said, "People get their theology from everywhere. People get their theology from everywhere." And as we talked about that very point, he made mention of the fact, he said, just listen, talk to people in your congregation or in the community, and when you get onto an issue, how many of them in their discussion, the conversation centers around quotes from everything from Oprah Winfrey to MTV to any other number of sources. People get their theology from everywhere. How important it is, therefore, then, to know the voice of the shepherd. We know the voice of Jesus as his followers. We know the voice of the good shepherd. But how do we know this voice? We know the voice of the shepherd primarily through knowing his word. We know the voice of the good shepherd through knowing his word. If you don't know his word, then you confuse all kinds of voices with the voice of the shepherd. And that's one of our reasons and purposes behind our latest venture, 40 days in the Word. How important it is to know the voice of our shepherd Jesus. Because the shepherd knows the places to find food, water, and shelter. The shepherd has in mind the best interest of the sheep. The shepherd also knows the areas of danger. My mother, and I've thought about this, this is the first year for my family and I without our mom. My mother brought us up to know Christ and His Word, pure and simple. Through her efforts and her witness at home, at the breakfast table, and you've heard me talk about that before. We, of course, didn't always want to listen. We had other things to get to that were more important. We were impatient. My mom had to teach me some patience, and she said to you, try to do that through sitting down holding a cat. I don't know if the cat wanted to be there any more than I did, but it was a lesson learned. And of course, in my family, probably like yours, we all wandered off at different points and listened to other voices and had to find things out for ourselves. And by the grace of God, come back to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus tells us, the shepherd is not like the hired hand. The hired hand, when danger comes, and that's a lesson for another time, danger comes and the hired hand takes off. He cares nothing for the sheep. But this good shepherd, Jesus, continues to call his sheep to listen to his voice. And we know his voice when we know his word. This shepherd, who is the good shepherd, unlike the other shepherds, and there's lots of shepherds in the world, this shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It doesn't get any better than that. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, the gate, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.